God's word for our consideration this evening. I'm going to pluck a portion out of the Old Testament for this evening. 1 Kings chapter 3. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will give what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. So far, God's word for his consideration this evening. Now, we've looked at two kings already during this Lenten season. King David, he bared his soul. King Saul. So today, tonight, we talk about King Solomon. So, I'm going to ask a question. You don't have to answer, but I want you to think about this. What is the most discerning thought that you have about Solomon? It is probably his wisdom. It is probably about the two women who had a child. Both of them had a child, and the prostitute and the wife, lack of better terms, and the prostitute rolled over on her child and then exchanged it, and they brought the healthy child before Solomon, and wise and discerning Solomon says, cut the child in half. You remember that? That's what we usually think about when we think about Solomon. But I want you to also think about this king. This king that had everything. We think about the wisdom that he had, but he had also other things. Did you know that he was only 20 years old when he ascended to the throne? Young. He was young. He was popular. He could ride on a horse into the community, into the countryside, and he'd have people bowing down before him. Hail King Solomon! He was popular, and he had riches. He had honor. He was going to be no other king that was before him, and no other king that came after him. But guess what? Solomon, even though he had honor, he had riches, he was popular, he was still a sinner. He still sinned before God. Even though he asked for a discerning heart, he still was like us, a sinner. How did he sin? Well, one of the things that he did was, before this dream, before this God giving him wisdom, what did he do? He took Pharaoh's daughter as his wife. And he started not to placate God, but he kind of said, okay, I'm going to be this godly, fearful ruler. And I'm going to look to God for strength and wisdom. But also, I'm going to worship the gods of my wife. But also, another interesting fact about Solomon. Do you know how many wives he had? You want to take a guess? 700 wives. Oh my goodness. So this King Solomon, who is elevated because of his wisdom, his honor, his popularity, he was worshiping other gods. He wasn't only going to worship the one true God. You see, his thought process was, okay, I'm going to lay it all out here. I'm going to worship all these other gods plus the true God, and someone's going to elevate me. Somebody's going to give me all that I want. And so, with all of these wives, and I don't want to be offensive to any woman here, okay? I'm not being offensive. But he followed the wishes of his wives, okay? And so, the tendency is to say that, remember, there's a cliche that says, wine, women, and song? Well, we're going to turn this around. Solomon's downfall was wisdom, wealth, and wives. Those are the three things that happened to Solomon. He's great in this wisdom. He's ruling with this wisdom. He's popular. People like him. But yet, he's a sinner. He turns away from God. And I want you to think about that as you think about yourself, because when we think about ourselves, we're sinners. We have sinned thought, word, and deed. The Apostle Paul puts it really bluntly when he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if we think Solomon's really a bad king, I want you to remember that you're just as bad as he is. You have sinned just as horribly as Solomon has. Our finger is blaming and pointing at others and saying, not me, I haven't done it. And if you remember Adam and Eve in the garden, and when God called Adam out, Adam said, it's not me, it's the woman you gave me. And Eve said, it's not me, it's the serpent who beguiled me. That's what we've been doing all along. We've been pointing the finger of blame. And Solomon has done that as well. When God called him to account, he said, God, it wasn't me. It was all those wives that you allowed me to have. We forget that we've been just like him. We've turned away from God. We've turned away from his word. Solomon did the only thing that he could do. He asked God for forgiveness. He asked God to forgive him, to lead him. And we do the same, because we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And now the other interesting thing of Solomon, as he had all of these riches and everything, we remember that he had the greatest thing happen to him, that he was in the lineage, in the line of the Son of David, Jesus Christ. Because when we think about Solomon, he was the great, great, great grandson in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So even though he sinned against God, he was being lifted up. He was being lifted up in forgiveness. And as we think about our lives, we also think about that word of forgiveness. That when we say we're sorry, forgive me, that God forgives each and every one of us in Jesus Christ. And there's the real point of Solomon. Even though he had wisdom, popularity, and all of those riches, he still had the most rich the most wealthy piece of life, and that was forgiveness and life in Jesus. That is what we have as well. In Jesus Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.